In today's news headlines, President Donald Trump's first political rally since the pandemic, held in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Saturday, was anticlimactic. The president's re-election campaign had boasted that about 1 million people had requested tickets to attend the event at the 19,000-seat Box Center. In the end, fire marshals estimated that about 6,200 people attended. According to the New York Times, Trump was, quote, stunned, and he yelled at aides backstage while looking at the endless rows of empty blue seats in the upper bowl of the stadium. Ahead of the rally, six staffers working on Trump's re-election campaign in Tulsa tested positive for the coronavirus. An overflow stage to accommodate the large crowd that the Trump campaign expected to gather outside remained empty, and the campaign announced that a planned second rally at that stage would be canceled. In private, Trump is reportedly livid at his re-election campaign head, Brad Parscale, but publicly, Trump blamed protesters. Campaign spokesperson Tim Murtaugh said the low turnout was due to, quote, radical protesters coupled with a relentless onslaught from the media who, quote, attempted to frighten off the president's supporters with their warnings about the pandemic risk. Young online activists, including K-pop fans and TikTok users, took credit for sabotaging the Trump rally, saying they had reserved tickets with no intention of showing up. During his speech, Trump was predictably low on policy and high on rhetoric. He whipped up racist fervor, referring to the Black-led movement for racial justice as filled with, quote, thugs, a code word for criminalizing Black Americans. And he referred to the toppling of Confederate-era and colonial-era statues as an assault on, quote, our heritage, i.e. the heritage of white supremacy. He also used a derogatory term, Kung Flu, for the coronavirus. Only a few months ago, Trump spokesperson Kellyanne Conway had expressed shock that anyone in the White House could use the term Kung Flu when confronted by reporters. She said, of course that's offensive, while demanding to know who used the phrase. Trump also resorted to his favorite talking point about the coronavirus pandemic, that the reason infections in the U.S. are rising sharply is because there are more tests being conducted.
When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people, you're going to find more cases. So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
That's Trump during his poorly attended rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Saturday, saying he wants to slow down COVID-19 testing. Lawmakers expressed shock at Trump's open expression of wanting to obscure the true extent of the disease by reducing testing. But Trump's White House trade advisor Peter Navarro said the president's comments were, quote, tongue-in-cheek. Trump has made such comments many times before, undercutting the claim that he was just joking. Now, Democratic senators are pointing out that a deliberate slowdown in testing may be already in the works, as the Trump administration has not spent $8 billion of the $25 billion that Congress set aside for testing and contact tracing. A top infectious diseases expert, Dr. Michael Osterholm, said on Meet the Press on Sunday that, quote, I don't see this slowing down through the summer or into the fall. I don't think we're going to see 1, 2, and 3 waves. I think we're going to just see one very difficult forest fire of cases. A day before Trump's Tulsa rally, Attorney General William Barr set off a political firestorm when he announced on Friday that Jeffrey Berman, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, would be stepping down from his position. Berman has investigated Trump's dealings in New York and also the Jeffrey Epstein case. He was in the middle of an investigation into Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, when he was informed that he was being replaced. Berman responded saying he would remain in his position until he was replaced by a Senate-confirmed U.S. attorney. Eventually, Trump himself ordered Berman's firing to have him replaced by Jay Clayton, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, a man who has no federal prosecutorial experience, to lead one of the top prosecutor jobs in the nation. The Trump administration has praised Berman's work and given no explanation for his firing. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff, referencing the Nixon Watergate scandal, said, "You really have to question this Friday night attempted massacre, now completed one." Former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, who had occupied Berman's position when he was ousted from the same position Berman held, wrote an op-ed in the New York Times on Sunday, saying that Attorney General Barr has, quote, undermined the rule of law. Berman's second-in-command, Audrey Strauss, will now take over the cases he was working on. In Los Angeles, hundreds of people protested the LA Sheriff's Department, demanding answers in last week's killing of an 18-year-old security guard named Andres Guardado. Sheriff's deputies responded by firing non-lethal weapons into the crowd. And in New York, a police officer was fired after he was documented using a chokehold on a black man, even though it is now a banned tactic. The same maneuver that killed George Floyd in Minneapolis has been banned in several cities as part of police reform efforts, but officers are reluctant to comply with the laws. In Columbus, Ohio, police were documented knocking down a double amputee to the ground. Witnesses say police confiscated his prosthetic legs as he screamed for help. They also deployed pepper spray at crowds a week after city officials promised the chemical weapon would not be used on protesters. A new study by the University of Chicago examined lethal use of force policies of the top 20 departments in the U.S. and concluded that all of them violate international human rights standards. Meanwhile, Colorado's governor just signed into law a sweeping set of police reforms that includes one critical piece left out of most reform bills, an end to so-called qualified immunity that police enjoy. Colorado is now the first state in the nation to end a doctrine that even the U.S. Supreme Court recently refused to take on. In other police-related news, the Minneapolis jail where police officer Derek Chauvin was held after being arrested for killing George Floyd, only white security guards were allowed to keep an eye on him. All four officers involved are now out on bail. And NASCAR's only black driver, Bubba Wallace, has found a noose hanging in his garage that authorities are now investigating. The Washington Post has conducted an analysis of who engaged in property damage during the nationwide police protests after Floyd's killing and concluded that people identifying themselves as Antifa were not involved in spite of Trump's constant claims to the contrary. Instead, quote, four people who identify with a far-right extremist Boogaloo movement are among those facing the most serious federal charges. And people continue to bring down statues of Confederate-era and colonialist leaders. In Los Angeles, activists brought down the statue of Junipero Serra near Olvera Street in the downtown district. And authorities have announced that they will remove the statue of Theodore Roosevelt from the front of the Natural History Museum as it depicts white supremacy with a Native American and African American flanking him in subservience. Finally, Trump's former national security adviser, John Bolton, says he will not vote for Trump in November. And primary elections take place in New York on Tuesday, where Representative Elliot Engel faces an insurgent left candidate named Jamal Bowman. Kentucky is also holding primary elections, where authorities are under fire for slashing polling places by 95% and leaving cities that have large black populations with just a single polling place each. And that does it for our news headlines today.